We're gonna start, okay?
Yeah.
So, Anis, recently I have seen a lot of news and videos about a red cow or a red heifer that Israel is going to slaughter for their religious rituals in order to build the third temple. I think that is the temple of Solomon, right?
Yes.
And can you tell us what this is all about and why finding such a cow is so important for them?
So it starts with a little bit of religion here. Most, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a little bit, mm-hmm. mostly religion.
Move the mic closer.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So you have, okay, let's start with the Jewish perspective. Mm-hmm. So the Jewish perspective is you have, how do you say, David?
Yeah.
King David, mm-hmm. the prophet David,
mm-hmm.
and you have Solomon,
mm-hmm.
Who's the son of David,
mm-hmm.
peace be upon them.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is David, peace be upon him, had to conquer,
mm-hmm.
You know, like Jerusalem, because they were exiled during the time of Moses, and they came, they tried to expand.
Mm.
But God forbade David from building the temple, because just like the Muslims have the Kaaba,
mm.
the holy place,
mm-hmm.
the Jews also have this established place because that was ordained by Abraham.
Okay.
So Abraham, peace be upon him, has like two important places. One is like the Mecca,
mm-hmm.
that he built with Ishmael,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is in Jerusalem because it is also a sacred place. And that's why the Muslims actually turn towards the first Qibla for us.
Yeah. Okay.
The first direction.
Masjid al-Aqsa, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the direction.
Mm.
Now, because it was destroyed, King David had to, you know, build it. So when he built, he was not given permission to build it because in order to expand, you have to wage war. So when you wage war, you spill blood. So God forbade David from building this temple.
Mm-hmm.
So Solomon, who is the successor, peace be upon him, he was told to build the temple. Now, what we have right now is the red heifer, is people who are building this, people who are trying to expand this Zionist project, so they cannot build this temple.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you look at the ashes, what they talk about the red heifer is they have to sacrifice and give it to the next generation. So priests who have never committed shed blood. So it is actually more of a purification thing,
mm-hmm.
but the next generation. So not the people who spilled blood, but the next generation has to do that.
So the current government is not going to slaughter it.
They are giving it to the priest.
Okay.
They're giving it to the priest.
So,
yes.
Like the Zionists, like right now, they have like this blood on their hands, like by killing people.
Yes.
So they cannot build the temple, right?
They're not fully religious either.
Mm-hmm.
They are more secular. So I think I have to start with history here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the Zionist project is actually more like a secular project.
Mm.
When the Jews were expelled from Europe,
mm-hmm.
not just from Poland because of Nazis,
mm.
but they were expelled from, I mean, France shipped Jews to Holocaust, to Auschwitz,
mm-hmm.
to kill them because they were frustrated with Jews.
Okay.
France, England, they all wanted to get rid of the Jews. So it is actually a European problem. Anti-Semitism is a European problem. So they wanted to, you know, move Jews completely out of Europe. So that's why they came up with this, a solution, the Balfour Declaration, which is actually to move them out of Europe to another location.
Mm-hmm.
And the Balfour Declaration is more about the Palestine region. But you had other places like Uganda, Argentina, you have other proposals.
They had other options to move, right?
So the father of Zionism.
I talked about this in
I think so.
Okay.
Who gave them these options? Europeans or?
No, the Jews all themselves came up because, I mean, at the end of the day, they were alive. There was a community, Jewish community.
Okay.
So
can you just come?
Yes, sure. Okay. So, sorry.
No, that's fine.
So you have Theodor Herzl, who is the founding father of Zionism.
Mm-hmm.
So he is an atheist. We all know he's an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his writings, he says, like, either they have to have this state for Jews or they should just massively, they all should just convert to Christianity because there was so much anti-Semitism towards Jews from the Christians.
When was it? When was the time?
It was towards 18th century.
So during the time of Ottomans?
The Ottomans were there. The Ottomans were there.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, this is more like a European thing, right? Because mm-hmm. European Jews are being persecuted, mm-hmm. the Ashkenazi Jews.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, you had the Sephardic Jews.
Okay.
Then you have like the different races of Jews. Like you had Jews in Morocco. You had Jews in
Iran.
Those are the Sephardic Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens here is they are not persecuted. So if you look at Andalusia, mm-hmm. when the fall of Andalusia happened, where did the Jews run towards? Like they were actually under Muslim Empire,
mm-hmm.
under the leadership of Muhammad, I don't remember, but some Muslim Empire, Abbasi Empire, caliphates.
Okay.
So they ran to Morocco, Algeria, the North African region.
Uh-huh.
And you have Maimonides, who's a renowned rabbi, a renowned Jewish scholar.
Uh-huh.
He ran from a Muslim territory to another Muslim territory because he was more safe with the Muslims rather than the Christians.
Okay.
The actual anti-Semitism, mm. anti-Semites mm-hmm. are Christians, mm. but the PR...
Not all Christians, Anis.
We're talking about Europe has a Europe itself has an immigrant problem, a xenophobic. Europe is very xenophobic. You have to understand, not everybody,
mm-hmm.
not everybody, but you might say, okay, it's the right wing, but even the left wing have xenophobia. Mm-hmm. It's more about being in control. Europeans mm-hmm. do not have a god.
Mm.
They themselves have a god. You have to understand Nietzsche's perspective. Mm. Nietzsche talks about, if you don't have a god, human beings become the god.
Mm-hmm. So who are they going to worship? Like, the
human beings. When you don't have a god, you become the god. You want to be in control.
So
and
they make their own rules?
Exactly, they dictate. So if you look at the liberals, what did they come up with? The LGBTQ and all mm-hmm. agenda, what is that too? They force upon Muslims and Christians. And what is that exactly? They play the role of God. So Europe mm-hmm, yeah. actually has a deep, it's a religious problem. It is a religious problem. You have to understand the fall. Okay, I'm going here and there.
So
everywhere.
No. The question
I'll
is,
come back.
So the more you become liberal, you worship on your own self. That's what you're saying.
It's not about liberal. They are atheists. So there are different kinds of liberals. There are Christian liberals. Mm. So all of that has to go back with history. I think I should start with history. How Europe also.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So going back to the Zionist problem, can
yes.
you just tell me like what is the difference between Zionist Jew and Jews that are following Torah? So what are the major differences?
So right now we use the terms traditional Jews
mm.
and the Orthodoxy Jews. Mm. So you have liberal Jews as well.
Mm.
They are a bit different. The traditional Jews do not even believe in the return of Jews to the Holy Land.
Mm.
It's forbidden for them.
Mm.
They take this thing called three oaths.
Mm-hmm.
So the first oath is they will not go back in masses to the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
They should be expelled from the Holy Land until the Messiah comes.
Okay.
And the third is like even if they go to, let's say, a remote island, somewhere in the Caribbean, somewhere in like say even Andaman Nicobar, somewhere like anywhere like that, they cannot establish a state. They have to live in exile.
Mm.
So even they cannot fight the Gentiles. Gentiles means like
okay. So this is
non-Jews.
What traditional Jews believe.
Traditional beliefs. And this is what happened even before the Holocaust happened. The Zionist project. This is what everybody believed. That's why Jews mm-hmm. never attempted to go back for 2,000 years. They never attempted to go mm-hmm. back. It is actually the Holocaust that,
one
was a snowball
move, yeah?
effect.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A snowball effect because the Europeans didn't want them and the Americans didn't want them either. And
all the Europeans want the Jews to move out, yeah?
At some point,
then what happened?
To an extent, even right now, why not create another state? They say Jews must have a state. Why not divide Germany?
Okay.
Give one side of the Alps, Switzerland, because Switzerland, they have a nice mountain, nice location, neutral state, mm-hmm. no war, no army. They can give a part of Germany
mm-hmm.
towards Switzerland,
yeah.
and live your life. But no, they wouldn't do that. They still hate Jews.
They are saying that they have found some symbols and coins from the time of Moses in Jerusalem.
Okay.
And they cannot find such things in Europe. So that is why they are claiming it is belong to their Jewish.
Yeah. Okay, with that argument, first of all, it's not about the coins. There is no such thing like that. But even if it is the case, take the example of gypsies. Where do gypsies come from?
From Europe.
No, Eastern Europe. They live in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
They live in Romania. They live in Poland. They live in other countries. Mm-hmm. But they come. They originate from India.
Mm-hmm.
They originate from India, Pakistan, that region.
Mm.
They are also persecuted, just like the Jews. They were also persecuted. They were killed in the Holocaust, not in large numbers, but they never had a land for themselves. Why not create a land for them?
But they were not. They were like a community. They never had a country like that.
It's
like in history.
They never had a country. We have to understand also from the European idea. We adapted. We accepted is the concept of nation state.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews also have this problem because before the Holocaust happened, there was never an attempt to establish a state. They were always an expat because it's just like a nomadic life. You had all kinds of people. You have kingdoms, you have nomads, you had states, you have like many different things. But when Europe started, you know, expanding, they had their own fight like between Austria-Hungary and Germany, France. They wanted to establish a nation state. Like that's why you have this rhetoric of even in India, you have this like one nation, one language. That's a European concept.
Yeah,
okay. It's a very European concept because people were living a nomadic life. Take the example of Tatars. Tatars who live in Poland, Ukraine, they live in Russia, Belarus. They were nomads. Oh. Even the group in Niger, that overthrew the government. They were also nomads. They were fed up with the French. So you had a nomadic lifestyle as well. So the Jews were living a nomadic kind of lifestyle, which is still an acceptable thing. Like now we created this nation state idea that everybody, every nation, every ethnicity or every religion should have one state, which is kind of like even weird. Like what about the gypsies? The gypsies don't consider themselves Indians, although they might have roots. By the logic, you can also claim that you belong to Ethiopia. Like you have a right to Ethiopia. So no, it's this is a European concept because of the European struggles. We have actually accepted a lot of European norms that we have to, you know, get rid of. And I wanted to start what is happening in the red heifer.
Going back to that topic. So they are claiming they found 5 red heifer.
They have sacrificed so far 9. This is the 10th one.
Yes. They are finding like such a cow after.
They're breeding it, I believe. They're breeding.
They have their own labs in Texas. Yeah, that is what I read. So what's gonna happen next? And why they couldn't find it in last 2,000 years? I guess right.
Everything has to come in place. And plus, there are requirements. Like, first of all, you shouldn't have a red or a white hair. It should be fully red.
Without any spot. Uh-huh.
You have. I don't really know the details of it, but you have a lot of requirements for a calf. And it shouldn't be more than 3 years. And it shouldn't have never, worked. So you have all these requirements. And
so it's going back. So in Quran, I don't know which surah, but
Surah Baqarah.
During the time of Moses, there is a cow mentioned.
Surah
right?
Baqarah, you're talking about Surah
so
Baqarah.
So it is the same cow as that? Like, it should be the same way as that?
No, that is a yellow cow.
Yeah,
that is a yellow cow. This is a red cow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it can have some references, but that's the Quran. They don't believe in the Quran.
Okay.
They have other requirements, of course. The heifer should be like... It's somewhat similar as you're saying, like it shouldn't be older than 3 years old. It shouldn't be less than 3 years old. Actually, it should be exactly 3 years old. It shouldn't have worked. It shouldn't have mated. It shouldn't have any spots. So it has they have all these requirements for that, sacrificing a calf. Mm-hmm. And the ashes is the first step to actually, what do you call? So we're talking about Orthodox Zionist Jews here, particularly.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe that they are going to start the process of bringing the Messiah. So this is an Orthodox Jewish, current after the Holocaust happened. So this is a very recent concept that they believe that they have to, prepare the steps for the coming of the Messiah. And there are different opinions. So one of them believe that the Messiah will sacrifice the 10th heifer.
Mm.
And some of them believe like, no, they will sacrifice and then that will perpetuate the coming of the Messiah.
Okay.
So they believe in the coming of the Messiah. But this is a one warning I do want to give it to Muslims is... I see a lot of Muslims commenting like they want to prepare for the Dajjal. See, we shouldn't look from Christian or Jewish lens. We have our own scriptures. We have our own hadith, which talks about how the Dajjal will come. So there are things like the Dajjal wouldn't come until, like, let's say, one of the hadith talks about the 3 years of rain. So the first year, Allah would withhold 1/3 of the rain. The second year, 2/3 of the rain. Third year, 3/3 of the rain. So we have all these hadiths. So when people say, Christians say, oh, they're preparing for the Dajjal.
They're preparing for beast. That is what mentioned in
they're
Bible,
preparing,
right?
The beast.
Yeah, the beast and Dajjal is the same thing. The scripture is different, but...
Christians believe in a different thing. Jews believe in a different thing. So the Antichrist for them, for the Jews, is Amalek.
Amalek. So
the thing that
Netanyahu was mentioning about kill Amalek or something like
he's
that.
He's an atheist, but he mentioned the
Netanyahu.
Bible. Yes, he's an atheist. He's not a.
How
like,
do you know that?
There are records like he's actually not a religious figure. Why do you think he's very recently he joined the what do you call? So he plays. I mean, the Jews actually the Israeli Jews, they play a funny role. Like, you can be an atheist, but the minute you have like you show a Jewish ancestry, you can become an Israeli citizen. But if a Jew becomes a Muslim, you don't get to become an Israeli.
So you will lose your citizenship.
Not losing, but like you cannot gain it.
Okay.
So like another country, let's say you become you became a Muslim and then you want to become an Israeli citizen or whatever, you cannot.
So
Netanyahu plays here and there. So first, very recently he joined the ultra orthodox.
Uh-huh.
Before that, he was actually the Likud party, I believe. He's more like, you know, he was joining with the liberal side, like a little bit right conservative, yes. But very recently he joined the ultra-Orthodox to gain the power.
But there are clips from the past
where the rabbi
is talking to him like, you have to prepare for the arrival of the Messiah.
Yes, yes.
Build the temple, everything.
That means even, what do you think Theodor Herzl, who's an atheist, wants to establish a Jewish state in Palestine? They take the Bible when it's suitable for them, and then they like it's cherry picking.
Mm-hmm.
They basically cherry pick.
Mm-hmm.
So Netanyahu is not a religious figure, but yes, you have a rabbi who's okay. I went to a synagogue basically, and
where?
Here in Warsaw.
Okay,
I went to a synagogue once, and I wanted to ask them about their Day of Judgment and because if you understand how they see the afterlife, I can see where their beliefs are going. So. It seems like even if you don't believe in God, the minute you have the Jewish blood, you're the chosen one. You're safe. It's a redacted statement because you have different kinds of Jewish groups, but one of them that I met here, you're a chosen one. You have a Jewish blood, so you're a chosen one, yes. So it's...
It is very difficult to convert to Christianity, Judaism,
yeah.
Right?
According to their concept, they don't actually, you know, like other religions, they look to spread the religion, but Jews don't have that concept. They don't want people coming to their religion. And to become a Jew itself, I've heard from one of my friends, he's a Jew, he's a good friend of mine. What he said is, it takes around 2 years that the rabbi has to stay in their house and have a look at what
rabbi has
around 2 years, a long period of time, the rabbi keeps a watch on them, what they're doing, and then they convert.
So he's a convert? Your friend is a
convert?
He's
not a convert, but he knows how this thing works.
Wow,
yeah.
The process.
Yes.
So when similar thing, but not 2 years. I heard that the rabbi would, ask questions and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can... That's a more secular side. The orthodox position or the traditional position, you can never become a Jew.
Yeah.
Okay. That's more like a liberal, you know.
And once you become a Jew, how you become a Zionist then? Like, it's another thing, right?
Zionist is a political ideology.
Okay.
It's about
the
Jews.
What's their goal, actually? Like, what makes them different from a Orthodox Jew?
So Zionism, the project of Zionism is actually to establish a state for the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Christian Zionists,
mm-hmm.
and you have the Jewish Zionists.
Mm-hmm.
So Jewish Zionists come from the perspective like, hey, we don't have a nation for ourselves. Okay. And they are mostly secular. Oh. They're mostly secular because, like I told you, they have the three oaths. They cannot go back. They should be they should wander into the wilderness. They cannot establish a state, right? So that's a punishment. Like, that's what they say. I'm not saying that, but they say it. The chief rabbis, like, even the chief rabbi of Jerusalem during the Ottoman Empire,
mm-hmm.
he said that, like, the Jews shouldn't be coming here, because when the Theodore Herzl, they were talking about the Zionist project, he was admonishing them.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing this? This is not the right for you to come here until the Messiah comes.
Okay.
So
the question is, like, you don't like the 10th cow will be executed by the Messiah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
some of them believe that. Some of them want to actually sacrifice right now.
So there will not be 11th one. This 10th will be the final one.
Yeah, 10th one will be the final one.
Okay.
So if the Messiah does not show up,
and they are going to sacrifice this 10th one.
Yes.
Okay.
So then they will destroy the Masjid al-Aqsa, and
the next step for them is to destroy the Aqsa compound itself, Masjid al-Aqsa. Yes,
and they will build the temple.
Yes.
So when do you think that will happen? Like,
to be honest, I don't think that will even happen. But even if that happens, I don't think they can even stay longer. They will get destroyed for soon, because it's not. There will be retributions to whatever you do, because first of all, how are you going to have like a liberal atheistic group of people that just steals the land and then, you know, expand this project? Because see,
nobody questions them.
That's because the Christians are actually supporting it. The Christian Zionists, not the Catholics,
mm-hmm.
not the Orthodox. But a particular strand of Christianity, not all Protestant, but a particular strand of Protestantism, they are supporting the whole project. So, because the Jews believe, this is actually the irony, the Jews believe that they will have a state for themselves, and the Christians believe that the Jews must have, like, these strand of Christians.
Mm.
I will call them the heretic Christians.
Mm. Mm.
They believe that the Jews must have this state for themselves, the Jews shouldn't go back to this state in order to have the return of the Messiah.
Okay.
So if they bring the Messiah, there will be a mass slaughtering going on. So most of the Jews will die.
Okay.
And only 1,200 Jews from each tribe would be alive. So 12 tribes, 1,200. So you think about the numbers, only not even a million, maybe 100,000, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Only that many number of Jews would be alive. The rest of them would be slaughtered. Only some of them would accept Christ. That's what they say. And so the Christian idea is to bring back the Messiah.
Okay.
So
they want to play in between.
Sorry?
They want to play in between, yeah? Like, with the help of Jews, they want to bring Messiah, and they want him to kill the Jews.
I don't think the Christians are actually playing in between. The Jews are playing in between. Because the Jews don't have that power.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Christians who are pushing the idea of bringing the Jews into this land. But the idea was not even existing until the Holocaust happened. Mm-hmm. And it was actually a Christian who came up with this Zionist idea. It was not a Jew who came up with this idea, bringing back. It goes back to John...
Rockefeller?
No, John Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Zionism, the return of... The Zionism project was there since 16th century.
Mm.
From the time of the fall of Catholicism, when the Martin Luther...
King Jr.
No. Martin Luther King Jr. is an American.
I know that. Like, okay.
Martin Luther, he's the Protestant, father of Protestantism. Mm. So he translated the Bible and he published it to the masses. William Tyndale also translated the Bible in English, but he was in Germany. So if you know anything about Cordoba was the largest city in the whole world.
Largest city.
Largest city in the whole world.
Mm-hmm. So it was in Spain, right?
It was in Spain, Cordoba.
There is no such a place as what is it?
Cordoba. Andalusia is actually a jewel for the Muslims. If I'll share this personal story of mine. So I had this when I came to Europe first time. A Spanish person told me like the Spanish kicked out the Muslims. He's not a xenophobic person, but at that particular thing, it just felt like an Islamophobic comment. But he's a good person anyway. Mm-hmm. And then much later, I met a Puerto Rican woman in a youth camp. Mm. And she told me it is actually the Muslims who developed the Spanish region. Because before that, as I told you, Europe was in dark ages. They didn't know how to cultivate the land.
Mm.
And my recent trip to Spain, I didn't really understand the gravity of how much Muslims influenced Europe. I like two places on earth. I'm just fascinated. I'm not like I like many places, but these two places just fascinate me. One is Rome,
mm-hmm.
and one is Andalusia.
Why Rome?
Rome is because see, you can build castles and everything. Mm-hmm. You can build monuments,
mm-hmm.
but there is one particular thing I just like. How do you treat your vulnerable? How do you treat your citizens? In there is a hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who says, God does not judge you by your success by your victory,
mm-hmm.
but by how you treat the vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And going to Rome, you will find this fountain where everywhere throughout the city you have this fountain. It's free water, clean water.
Mm-hmm.
It's more much cleaner than the tap water that we drink right now.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine like you climb up the mountain and you still have this fountain without any electric motors. And it was built
during the time of
Roman Empire with Archimedes' principle, without any motors, without any electricity,
uh-huh.
just pumps and it cleans by itself. Isn't that fascinating how they
thought
about this engineering? But it's not just about the engineering. It's you can do this engineering within the palace, but it's for the people that they
did. The things Romans built are really amazing. Like if you check the roads and buildings, those are really amazing.
Yes, yes, I agree. But the engineering can be fascinating, but I am fascinated more about how you treat the people. That particular thing just amazes me. Like you have done it for the people. And the same thing with Andalusia. If you go to Andalusia, just I would recommend anybody traveling to Andalusia, try to go from Cordoba to just Granada. These are like the tourist spots. Just try Cordoba. To go by a bus. Take a bus.
So there is still a place named Cordoba, right?
Cordoba, it's a Muslim.
It was the largest city
in the world. Okay. Yes. And so take a bus from Cordoba to Granada or Granada to Cordoba.
Mm-hmm.
You will find mountains, mm-hmm. mountains turned into agriculture field, olive trees everywhere you see. Have you ever seen you are from Kerala?
Yes.
Have you ever seen mountains except for this Ooty region, mm-hmm. which is still a small hill?
Mm-hmm.
It's a steep land.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that, have you seen mountains like rocky mountains? Even Ooty is a moisture land.
No, we cannot find that in Kerala.
Mountains, rocky mountains turned into fields.
Okay.
No, that was the engineering of the Muslims that of the Andalusian period.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely a different level. It was the Muslims who came up with the what do you call it? Algorithm, arithmetics, algebra. Why were they inspired by algebra? Because they wanted to calculate how to give zakah, which is the obligatory charity that Muslims need to give.
Mm.
They came up with the
first university
in Morocco, but other things. Like even Ibn Hisham, he comes up with the optics. But it was a lot of innovation, scientific innovation, because they were inspired towards God. Because, for example, like, what do you call this? This tool to calculate how to navigate. The Muslims came up with that first. Uh-huh. So now we have this geo Google compass and stuff, but the Muslims came up with this
compass,
which is a different kind of compass.
Uh-huh.
They look at the night sky, they look at the constellations,
okay.
and they calculate which period of time you have to go from which way and which way, because people traveled. They didn't have Google navigation like us. Yeah. So they had this, they bettered it. They bettered it every... So the Muslims came up with like innovations after innovations, all because they wanted to, you know, worship God. Mansa Musa's brother went to USA first. He was the first person. Because he heard people from the Vikings going to the US first. Mm. So the Vikings went first, but it was just rumors. Nobody really verified it. So he wanted to verify it, and he also went with the big fleet. Even they couldn't succeed because it was dangerous to travel there. Okay. And when Columbus went, if you know, he slaughtered many people, right? in Jamaica, Cuba, that Caribbean region.
Yeah.
It's because of gold. He saw gold there.
Mm.
But if you really dig up that land, you don't have any gold. So where did you have that much gold?
He killed people. Yeah.
Columbus killed people. But how did you find that gold? How did the people, the native people, have gold?
How?
Because the brother of Mansa Musa, Abu Bakr,
he
brought gold. Okay. And he settled, like the people settled there. They built mosque and everything.
Just
they
like
used
Mansa
that gold.
Musa, when he was going for Hajj.
No, he wasn't like that. That's more like a charity thing. But this guy carried the gold.
Okay. So I thought Mansa Musa built the empire from scratch. So it is actually
you always have people step by step.
Ancestral
world, but like you know, building up the world, like step by step. But I'm saying like how his brother went. He built a mosque in one of the regions, I don't remember, but one of the Caribbean islands. You have like, you know, gold, but you don't have gold in that land. The gold is actually in California, the west coast, not in the east coast. So how did he find gold? Because of the voyage. We don't study this. We only study about Columbus as discovering
Anis, Mali Amber, they were mining gold from their own land, or they were mining from another place?
It's an empire, so they can be you know.
So why Mali is now one of the poorest countries in Africa?
Exploitation.
Because they have resources, right?
Exploitation. The whole of Africa is all about exploitation.
Well, and who is taking all these resources?
Europe. Europe, America, Australia.
So that is what is that's what going on in Congo.
Currently, this is what is happening. But I believe that the next players are going to be the Chinese and the Russians.
No, I mean
they are not going to be like, you know. Come on, if you allowed another party to be exploited, do you really think the Russians would be like the Russians or the Chinese would be like, okay, fair? No, I think there is a problem with the world where they think, oh, we have a monster who's sucking us up, so we'll go and find refuge with another monster. That doesn't work.
People are claiming that Chinese came to Africa and they
built buildings.
And everything.
Why would they spy on the African Union? They had spywares.
This government buildings.
Exactly, but they had spywares everywhere. The African Union did not know about it.
But at least they are not killing people.
They're not killing people right now, but they are killing people in Uyghur and other places, Tibet and other places. But that's just like, you know, you have to look good. It's not like they have a good agenda for now. The problem right now is we think always like at the present moment. You don't look at the ideology that, come on, Europe without exploitation wouldn't have never. There is a quote by French Prime Minister, President, sorry, not the former one, but 2000. He says, without Africa, France would be a third world nation.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you really think
it is changing now, right? If you look at Burkina Faso, they have new movement, new leader, and also I think Senegal is going to do the same thing.
Niger,
they have youngest president.
Niger, Guinea-Bissau.
So I think if you look at Congo, it has been happening for years. Like they have one of the complex humanitarian crises that's happening.
Why do you think Sudan? Why do you think there is a war in Sudan right now?
I don't know. Like there is no media is reporting about it. Like what is going on in Congo? Right, nobody knows because nobody is reporting it. Like not like conflict in Russia and Ukraine. Like nobody is reporting.
Eurocentrism. That is what you call Eurocentrism. Yeah. Everything revolves around Europe.
That's what I felt like. I was also going through like also few videos from Rwanda, Congo, and everything, and I was surprised like why this was never talked.
It was one is Eurocentrism. Think about it. Why do you think you have the UN
taking minerals?
No. We're talking about United Nations.
Yeah, they're also stealing.
They are stealing minerals from Congo.
Yeah. I have seen that.
Okay, I don't know about that. But
their own official vehicle, they are stealing. Resources.
Possible. I don't know. I cannot say something that I have no idea about.
Okay. But I think Congo was the colony of Belgium.
We talked about it.
I heard the story that the Belgian king
Leopold
II, he was treating Belgium as his personal colony, and he was exploiting all those wealth, including the...
He would chop off hands.
Because they have the accumulation of all those minerals like cobalt, gold, and
tin,
diamonds, which is very expensive.
Cobalt is now.
Yeah.
Cobalt
they
is
have
not
tin,
cobalt
all these
now.
Things.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have all Rubber. These resources, right? So during the time of like when they had... kingdoms, like instead of democratic system,
mm-hmm. states,
they were so rich, right?
See, they are always rich,
mm.
but it's about lifestyle. So Africa is rich in resources.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to go back with the UN, just to show up one point. Like, take the UN for instance. You have the UN. Where is the UN? Where is the UN? It's in New York. It's in New York.
America. They have headquarters in different countries, yeah?
No, that is the headquarters.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Headquarters is in the New York. But they have branches. UNESCO,
mm-hmm.
UNICEF, mm-hmm. WHO, what do you call UNESCO? Other UNRWA, UNRWA is actually in Jordan. Only two of the aid-related, branches are in, one is in Nairobi, mm-hmm. Kenya, and the other one is in Jordan.
There is one in Palestine, UN
UNRWA is actually in Jordan.
Okay.
The headquarters is in Jordan, the branch, the main headquarters of UNRWA. So all these are actually branches of,
mm-hmm.
UN. General Assembly, Security Council. All these are branches of the UN. The UN headquarters is in US.
Mm-hmm.
Take WHO. Where is WHO? Geneva,
mm-hmm.
Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
UNESCO, Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
You take UNICEF, France. Mm-hmm. You have all the other, influential, educational, culture-related, all these are in European countries. None of them are in Africa. None of them are in Latin America.
Okay.
Only two aid-related stuff are in these two countries. Why? Why do you have only in Europe and Western nations? Because when you have these kind of headquarters, you have money that comes into,
launder?
Not money laundering. Mm. You have money to establish... an organization like WHO or anything. You need fundings from other countries.
Mm.
When you have a funding, you have diplomats coming to that region, that particular region. So for diplomats to come to a region, you need to have stability, economic stability, political stability. So you will do whatever it takes to keep a finance. When you give a financial, when you have financial stability, you will have a political stable because everybody is going to work. You have diplomats, so you have like business going on. So that's why they have, except for the aid institutions, other institutions in Europe.
Mm.
You have like the European Union in Belgium. That's why Belgium is kind of rich as well.
Yeah.
Once you have that established, why they don't have it in Qatar? Why don't they have it in Dubai? They are, it's a safe region.
There are branches, right?
These are the main branches. Like, UNESCO. And
then how they have the people working for you in Afghanistan, in Palestine, all these places?
You have like those are like UNRWA and all that stuff. You don't have diplomats going there.
Mm.
Like one, so there's one thing where they all gather and there's another thing where you go, like even Bill Gates would go visit South Africa, would go visit. So there is a difference between visiting and gathering all the business. Mm. So this is structurally done to keep... Because that's the narrative. Because everybody is looking at you as the trendsetter. So this cup that we were just talking some time ago, that narrative, the Eurocentrism, is all because look at the institutions. Who is conveying the narrative?
Mm.
Like, we all know US has meddled into many countries. And the CIA has, overthrown legitimate democratically elected governments.
Mm-hmm.
Or France. Take the example of Gabon. So many countries.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't question them. What is the genocide that is happening in Palestine? We don't question them. But when Russia did it, we were all talking about it. It's about Eurocentrism. And that is not just a problem with Europe. That is a problem with us. We are still holding with the UN. And think about it. When the Palestinian thing, when the UN Security Council, that resolution was trying to be passed, everyone was looking up to the ICJ. Which is in Netherlands again. ICC, Netherlands, Security Council. We are looking at the institution that was established and still controlled by the Western diplomats, the elites. It is still present. They have their tentacles. And we still look up to them. So the first thing we need to do, dismantle. I don't remember his name, but Middle Nation, his channel is Middle Nation. He talks about, changing the UN, revisiting the articles and stuff, like changing the Security Council, because who's in power in Security Council? You have the five nations, USA, Britain, France, Russia, and China. Now, the funny thing about Russia and China, they both are communist state. Now, where does communism stem from? Communism stems from Karl Marx.
Hmm.
Karl Marx, where did he write his book? He wrote his book in London.
Hmm.
Again, a European-centric. Even right now, when they build Beijing or other countries, they are looking at Europe. When Saudi Prince MBS, he says in one of the interviews, Middle East will be the next Europe.
Yeah.
Why? Hmm. Why not Andalusia? Why not Inca? It's Eurocentrism. When you have, like, why would you go for the copy when you go for the original? These people are colonized. The Russians and the Chinese are also, like, you know, they're not going to be any different. That's why I said at the beginning, they're not going to be any different, because the model.
So you are saying the trendsetters are Europe.
Europe, and it has been Europe, the mm-hmm. Enlightenment period, because it was, it all starts from the Enlightenment period. They were atheistic. They were just moving out of the Dark Ages. So it is still, take the example of, why do we study Darwinian evolution when you have Lamarckian genetic you have other theories, Lamarckian theory, mm-hmm. not just Darwinian theory, you have other theories. But the person who was the president of UNESCO, education, the head, Thomas Huxley, he was called the bulldog of Darwin. He promoted Darwin. He wanted to push the idea of Darwinism. You had other theories, but that's why we all.
What was other theories like?
Lamarckian theory. They have you have like genetic mutation. What do you call some intelligence. I don't remember the name, but I think this guy Zeeshan.
It is completely opposite from what Darwin has.
Changes. Not like completely changes, but there are some changes, because you have something called the LUCA.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody talks about. LUCA is a life and life universal common ancestry, something like that. That's LUCA. So everything starts with one cell, but you have on Earth you have some other, because we have export only 90% of life species. We have, not 90%, 10% of life species. We still have to go 90 more percent. We haven't discovered many species yet. So without studying any, like the majority, just even with the 10%, we have data which is kind of like, you know, there are something called orphan genes, O-R-F-A-N genes.
What is that?
So these are not coming from the universal, that one cell. What scientists with Darwin would say is like everything comes from this one cell.
Uh-huh.
That's how life splits.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something called orphan genes, which we cannot trace it back.
Hmm.
The Subur Ahmed has a long, long documentary about it. So you can go and search how there are actually.
So they cannot find the origin.
No.
Okay.
So you have like Subur Ahmed, go check his channel with Paul. I believe it's with Paul. Paul.
Okay.
I don't remember his full name, but he has this, like how there are other theories other than the Darwinian theory. There is data, but the guy, Thomas Huxley, wants to push this atheistic idea to divorce the Enlightenment period. Like Europe was frustrated. I'm not criticizing Christianity as the whole, because you have Christianity in Ethiopia, you have Christianity in the Coptic Christians in Egypt. They didn't have this. Even Christians are in Palestine. They didn't have this kind of atheist. The materialistic idea comes from a kind of reaction from the Christianity of Europe. And what was I saying with Thomas Huxley? Yeah, the Enlightenment period, they came up with, you know about the LSD, how the CIA tested Americans with LSD. So they would give drugs more than a person should be taking, so they can actually take records. How is LSD affecting people?
So they were doing a test, like on experiment.
People. Yes, experimenting on people.
No.
On their own people.
When was it?
I don't remember, but it was in 18th, after World War II.
And what happened?
People went nuts. You're addicted. You're addicted to drugs. If you don't take drugs, you're like, you don't have the dopamine effect, and you're going crazy. the CIA was experimenting on people, on American people. And this is in Congo, when after King Leopold, he left. The Europeans were still in charge, right? So the doctors would test their medicine.
Without anesthesia.
Not just without anesthesia, they were testing, they were giving medicines on people without even informing them what they were taking.
Wow.
They would give, pseudo-medicine, what is this?
Look, like Belgium King has done very, very cruel things in Congo. Like, he had human zoo at that time.
He set up,
and he killed 20 million people.
Even in London you have...
He killed 20 million people. Nobody talks about that. Yeah. But we still talk about Hitler killed 6 million
people. Mao killed the most number of people. Mao, Chinese communist leader.
Mao or Genghis Khan?
Genghis Khan? I don't know about Genghis Khan, but Mao killed the most number of people.
How much is that?
I don't know the numbers, but I know that he has killed the most number of people.
Wow.
Jews, I don't remember with how many. Isn't it 16 million Jews? 6 million Jews?
6 million, that is what they claim. We don't know. Like, some people claim that the 6 million include gypsies also. Some people claim this is
anyway,
just
genocide
is
a genocide. Numbers are... I don't look at numbers. Genocide is a genocide. So I don't want to say any less.
So I think we will need to have a second part for this podcast. With Anis, right? There are a lot of things to talk about. Like, Anis, it was so interesting. Like,
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So anyway, Anis, about you. You are from Tamil Nadu, right?
Yes, I'm from Tamil Nadu. So I don't speak Malayalam much. Sorry.
So...
I did my degree in linguistics, but I always had an interest in politics for a long, long time. Mm. My interest in politics stemmed when I
started... From which university was that?
Warsaw University.
Okay, I think we'll end this now.
Yeah, we have
already
to
wind going mind too much.
Yeah, we'll,
so thank you, Anis.
Thank you very much.
We will do a second part of this podcast because we have a lot of...
Definitely, inshallah. We have to talk about the
Red Cup.
CIA.
Red Cup also.
CIA, and I want to talk about Edward Bernays, the Banana Republic and all that stuff. It's a very interesting thing. I think you know about Banana Republic, right?
I have read somewhere about it. Okay, thank you, Anis. Thank you. Bye.